contentment, diligence, discretion, faith, faithfulness, flexibility in regards to reaching out to the lost, forgiveness, frugality or thriftiness, gentleness, goodness, and then grounded was our final one last week, grounded in the Word of God. So today our first one is helpfulness. We're doing them alphabetically. And Mr. Scott's going to read 1 John 3:17, and then we'll dive in.
But whoso hath the world's good, as this world could, and see his brother at need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
So we're talking today about helpfulness. This says if you see your brother have a need, and this is talking about a literal physical need, that we should meet the need. Amen? That's being helpful. And so that'll be our 15th virtue, which we'll look at. But let's pray first. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for your word and the privilege to study it together. I pray you, Lord, guide us in your truth. Speak to our hearts as we strive to be like our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. So helpfulness, let's go to Romans chapter 16. By the way, 1 John 3:17 would be your memory verse for this one, if you're keeping track of good memory verses for these virtues. But in Romans chapter 16, the first four verses talk about some people that were helpers to the Apostle Paul. So they had this Christian virtue of being helpful. So Mr. Sharp, could you read that for us, the first four verses of Romans 16?
Commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at
Centuria.
Yeah. If you receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and if you assist her in whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been the secure succour of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Greet Jesus Christ. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles.
So Paul here is holding up people that helped him in the ministry. They had this virtue of being helpful. Phoebe, that word secure is also means a helper. And then he even specifically says there in verse 4, my helpers, or sorry, verse 3, my helpers in Christ Jesus, talking about Aquila and Priscilla. So these folks helped the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys. Paul would have had a group of people that traveled with him and helped take care of just the physical requirements of traveling so much and going from town to town and planting churches. He didn't do it alone. He had a lot of helpers. And these were at least three of them. Phoebe and Aquila and Priscilla had this virtue of being helpful. Now, helpfulness feeds into a lot of our Christian life. One of the ways we can help is by praying. Amen? So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Brent, if you read that for us.
You also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf.
So notice again, Paul saying to the church at Corinth, you are helping by prayer. So you're helping our ministry by praying for us. And of course, that is a great way to implement this virtue of helpfulness, is to pray one for another. And Paul was thanking them for praying for him. Also, literally, physically helping someone. Getting in there, getting stuck in with our hands and doing it. Philip, if you could read 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 and 16, we'll see also the household of Stephanas and how they, again, helped the Apostle Paul. They had this virtue of being helpful. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 and 16. So again, he's holding up the household of Stephanas as some people that were a blessing to his ministry. Notice he says they had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, ministering. And then he goes on to say they helped and labored. So Paul here holding up this virtue of being helpful, having the gift of, not a gift, but the virtue of helpfulness. Let's look at some verses in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, Roy, if you would, and just see that Paul continued to hold people up and thank them for being helpful. Philippians 2, 25. So notice he's holding up Epaphroditus here, and he says that he ministered to my wants. So he's not even talking about spiritual things here. He's talking about literal physical helping, maybe food, maybe water, maybe a place to sleep. But Epaphroditus implemented this virtue of helpfulness in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Another one, Philippians 4:3. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us this time. Some others, some of the women who helped him.
And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life.
Amen. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. So Paul here holding up these women that labored with him. He mentions other fellow laborers. So again, Paul saying these people were helpful to my ministry. And this is what God wants. He wants us to have this virtue of helpfulness. Another synonym of that would be when we comfort others. So that would be in Colossians 4:11. Brad, if you could read that for us.
In Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me.
So notice he says they're my fellow workers, justice, and others. And he says, they have been a comfort unto me. So Paul listing all these people that were helpful to his ministry. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, Isaiah, if you could read that for us. This would be another good memory verse passage if you're looking for another one for helpfulness. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. It's a good passage, isn't it? Two are better than one. Because if one falls down, the other can pick him up. But if he's alone, there's no one to pick him up. So that's giving us a picture of helpfulness, isn't it? As clear as can be. Two are better than one. And he even mentions help him up. So this virtue of helpfulness, something God wants us all to possess, when we see an opportunity to be a help to a brother or sister, we do it. Amen? Jesus talked about this. Our last verse will be Matthew 25:35. He talked about this when he talks about the judgment at the end of the tribulation period. And he uses a parable to talk about the nations who are a blessing to the Jews during the tribulation period. But he does talk about being helpful. Look at Matthew 25:35. Nathan, if you could read that for us.
For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in.
Now, dispensationally, yes, it's talking about how nations treated or will treat the Jews during the tribulation period, but it's talking about being helpful, isn't it? I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. And they're going to say, well, who are you talking about? And he's talking about his brethren, the Jews. So God wants us to have this virtue, number 15, of helpfulness. Any thoughts or questions? about this one before we move on to one of the most important, which is holiness. Anybody? Then let's move on to holiness. This one's it's a tough one to find just a couple of memory verses because it's, as you know, it's God's number one attribute in the Old Testament. And it's a virtue that God wants us all to emulate in our Christian walk. Amen. But probably one of the most important passages would be 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. Ultimately, if you could read those for us. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. And he's actually quoting the Old Testament here in 1 Peter. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen? And remember, he's not quoting from the Ten Commandments here. He's quoting from Leviticus. But be ye holy, for I am holy. And as I mentioned, holiness, number one attribute of God in the Scriptures. So God wants us to be holy because he is holy. He wants us to live a holy life. And the right way to live for Christians is to live right. Amen? To live a holy life. So that would be a great memory verse. Another one would be Ephesians 4:24. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us. Ephesians 4:24. As we talk about number 16, holiness. So God explains that we can live a holy life. Why? Because we have the new man. Amen? We have Jesus living in us. We have a divine nature, we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1. So we do have the capacity to be holy. But only as we rely on the Lord, the new man. We need to put off the old man. It says in Ephesians 4:22, or verse 24, put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. So God wants us to live a holy life. Now, most of you know Romans 12:1. Let's look at it. Because that little word holy is in there. Amen. We often talk about living sacrifice when thinking about this verse. But one of the best ways to be living sacrifice is to be holy. So Howard, if you could read that for us, Romans 12:1. Holy. There it is. A living sacrifice, holy. Amen? We're to be holy. We're to live a holy life. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, Brent, is another one. Let's turn there. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. So God has called us unto holiness. Amen? This is a command. It is a calling from God that we live a holy life as a living sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:19, Philip, if you could read that, we'll see here that this is only possible as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Romans 6:19. Yield your members, amen, servants to righteousness unto what? Holiness. So we must yield ourselves. God has saved us, but he saved us to live a holy life. Let's go to Titus 2 and we'll see this. Verses 11 and 12. Roy, if you could read those for us, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and let's see what the grace of God teaches us.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly
A synonym for holiness in the New Testament is godliness, which makes sense since God is holy. But notice, teaching us what... So the grace of God that brings us salvation teaches us that we should what? Deny ungodliness, deny worldly lusts, and live soberly, righteously, and godly. That's what the grace of God teaches us, that we live godly, that we live holy. And this is not an option, it's a command. Amen? Be ye holy, for I am holy. God doesn't say, if you're up for it or in the mood. No, he commands us to live a holy life. This virtue is very, very important. 2 Peter 3:11 is another good one, Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us. Another thing that should motivate us to live a holy life is not only that God is holy, but also that this world is not our home and that we will one day be with God forever. 2 Peter 3:11.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Seeing what? Seeing that everything around us is going to be dissolved, it's all going to get burnt up. Seeing and acknowledging that nothing that we see is going to last. What should that do to us? It should make us want to live, what? A holy conversation. That word conversation is talking about our entire behavior, our demeanor. We should have a holy conversation, seeing that it's all going to burn up anyway. So we should live like God. We should want to be like God. And as we read, 1 Peter 1, be ye holy, for I am holy. So God wants us to live a holy life. Now holiness, remember we saw in Ephesians 4:24, righteousness and true holiness. Holiness is something that comes from the heart because we're yielded to the Holy Spirit. So God is not interested in fake holiness, where we put on a show on the outside, but our hearts aren't right. It's our hearts that count. Amen? Man looketh on the outer appearance, the Lord looketh on the heart. So in 1 Timothy 6, verses 5 and 6, God talks about people who try to act holy, but they are not holy. So Brad, if you could read that, 1 Timothy 6, 5 and 6. Supposing the gain is godliness, if I can get more stuff and look better, that's godliness, but that's not godliness, is it? Godliness comes from the heart because God lives in us and is there to guide us, to convict us, and to help us live a holy life. He says it again in 2 Timothy 3:5, if you want to turn there. Here he's talking about the end times. The Spirit speaketh expressly than in the latter times. So he's talking about the latter times. And look at it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So a form of godliness, an outward godliness attempt, if you will. But godliness comes from within. And it's going to be reflected in our behavior, how we treat others, and how we treat the Lord, essentially. So godliness isn't about what we look like, it's about who we are. And that's the point that God is trying to make here. So he says, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. And that is our 16th virtue. Thoughts or questions about holiness? Of course, there's a lot more in Scripture on this, but I think this is enough to get the point across that God wants us to be holy. Living sacrifice, holy. Amen. Thoughts or questions about this one? Well, then we get to do another one. And that would be another H, honesty. So let's go to, Romans 12:17. That's a good memory verse for honesty. Nathan, if you could read that for us.
We have gifts, not men,
provide things honest in the sight of all men. So God wants us to be honest. God hates dishonesty. How do we know this? Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. Isaiah, could you read that for us? God lists some things that he hates here in Proverbs 6.
These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood.
Now we could have moved on and got all six, but notice a lying tongue. So God hates it. Proverbs 12, 22, Ultimi, if you could read that for us. Not a lot of things are listed as abominations in Proverbs, but lying is one of them. God hates it. So where does lying come from? What's the source of it? Anybody? The Garden of Eden. We all knew what you meant. Yes, from the devil. Amen? How do we know this? Because God says so. Let's look at John 8:44. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us. Jesus here rebuking the Pharisees. John 8:44. The father of it. Amen? He's the father of it. We read there in John 8:44. He's a liar and the father of it. By the way, memory verse is that Proverbs 12:22. Great memory verse. Lying lips are an abomination of the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Very good one to add into your repertoire. So the devil is a liar and the father of it. So we're to behave honestly, as we read in Romans 12:17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 13:13 is another one, Howard. In all situations, God wants us to walk and be honest.
Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy.
Amen. And let's look at Ephesians 4:25, Brent. Talking about honesty.
Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another.
Amen. Putting away lying. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:12. Philip, if you could read that for us. 1 Thessalonians 4:12. So who is he talking about when he says them that are without? The lost, exactly. Them that are without the body of Christ, them that are without the church. We're even to be honest toward the world. We're always to be honest. That is God's command. He promises many blessings, by the way, for those who will be honest. Let's look at some of those blessings. Most of them are in Proverbs. So 12:19. Roy. So the lip of truth, there's a blessing pronounced. We already read Proverbs 12:22. They that deal truly are his delight. And then 14:25, Roy, if you could read that one as well. Proverbs 14:25.
A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies.
Amen. So God wants us to be honest toward one another, honest toward the world. And Acts 6:3 is a beautiful passage. Acts chapter 6 was the church's first internal crisis, if you will. There was a disputing over the widows, not getting enough food. And so the apostles said, well, we're not going to deal with this. We're going to delegate it. So first, let's select some men to do it. And that, those were the first deacons of the church. And in calling out what kind of men they wanted, look at what they said here in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. So the very first thing, before he said full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, he said honest report. Now that word report means their reputation. So pick seven men, and there were thousands of people now in the church. I want you to pick seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. And they did choose these seven men. Remember, Stephen was one of them. And this was a very important virtue that the apostles wanted these first seven deacons to have, to be men of honest report. So dishonesty hurts others. Let's see that. Proverbs 11:9. Mark, if you could read that for us, Proverbs 11:9. So notice what it can do, destroy his neighbor. And also in Proverbs 26:28, the Bible says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. So it produces hate as well. So God wants us to possess number 17, the Christian virtue of honesty. So for today, helpfulness, holiness or godliness, and honesty. Any thoughts or questions about these